Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local scene in Georgia and around the Southeast region, as well as interviews with the newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Georgia Wrestling Now is on its hair with your host from the award-winning Wrestling with Pop Culture, Jonathan Williams.
Wow, I didn't know Brad Storm was joining us tonight, but I guess he is. Yes, that actually was Matt Hankins from Team All You Can Eat doing his best impersonation of Rampage Pro Wrestling's ring announcer, who did say yesterday that Rampage Pro Wrestling was on its hair. And I really don't know what kind of mix-up was going through his head when that happened, but because he wasn't coming back from commercial or anything, so it wasn't on the air.
I think it was just that's just where his head was, man. It was Micah Taylor's hair.
It could be Micah Taylor's hair that inspired that. But anyway, Rampage Pro Wrestling was yesterday, and that was one of many wrestling events in Georgia over the weekend. And we've got many more coming up this week, which is what we'll be talking about with our guest tonight. We have Brian Alexander the Great, who will be part of Georgia All-Star Wrestling Show in Rome on Thursday, Thanksgiving night. He's taking on Murder One. And then we will talk to the Mammoth Jeter, who is one half of the Platinum Championship Wrestling Tag Team Season Champions and also made his Anarchy debut in a big way a couple weeks ago. From what I hear, he took out Michael Judas. So
Michael Judas.
Sounds like it, and that's not someone that's easy to take out even for a little while. So, but where do we begin, Matt Hankins?
I guess we start chronologically. Friday night was the big Monstrosity Championship wrestling match.
It was indeed a club famous inside the famous pub and sports palace, as it is known.
I got a big enough sign for all that.
We were in a palace in a strip mall.
No other place for Monstrosity Championship Wrestling to be than a strip mall.
So I was busy coordinating lots of stuff because Wrestling with Pop Culture was the presenting entity in that. So I coordinated the K-Rum honeys to be there to pass out the free shots. And
poor thing, you had to work with those women to get free booze out. I hate that for you. I know it was stressful.
It is awful. I mean, it's hard talking to pretty girls and taking free bottles of booze, but somebody's got to do it.
Somebody's got to do it, though.
So my attention was not always focused on what was happening in the ring or on the stage with the casting creatures, but what I saw was interesting, and I did get the official count of how many people were in attendance, and it was right about 200 people. So it was a big crowd. It was a different type of venue for wrestling and a very different type of wrestling event. You were there, Matt.
I was there. The big surprise is the top heel in Monstrosity Championship Wrestling is apparently Jesus, because those people really rallied against him. When Dark Mon came out carrying the good book, he was greeted with Hail Satan chant. So that let you know you were in for you were somewhere else that night. And he took on a reanimated Bruiser Brody. So that set the tone. But I think everybody who's there probably remembers the Kentucky Wolfman versus Dracula more than anything. That was absolutely crazy and expertly done by the Kentucky Wolfman. I mean, that guy hates so many things. He just hates so many things, Dracula representing most of them. If he was black, it would be perfect.
I'm sure Dracula has some black gay vampire friends.
Surely.
And we never know who we might see We've got a caller. I don't know if this is our first guest or just a listener calling, but let's see who this is. Thank you.
It's just a listener calling. I was hoping to do a run-in on Larry Goodman, but I guess he's not around. Dan Masters out in Los Angeles here.
Dan Masters. Larry Goodman might be calling in tonight, but he is not here as of yet.
It's funny. I moved from Georgia to Los Angeles, California, and I never hear from the man. He acts like my family anymore, so I was hoping he'd be on here. But nonetheless, it sounds like everyone's surviving, so I'll just keep updated through you guys every week.
You moved all the way to L.A. after...
I left Rampage 3 weeks ago, Doc Gaten would shut the doors and lock them.
No,
he probably wishes he would have after what happened to him.
Yeah, you know what? I saw it on the website. Yeah.
That was quite a show. Well, if Larry calls in and you're still on the line, we'll be happy to bring you on.
That's cool, man. I'm down here in a dungeon, so I might drop off, but I'll grab some internet access and listen. Anyway, all is going well out here. We're doing Women of Wrestling, the relaunch, and if any of you guys want to support and help, click on Light, Women of Wrestling on Facebook, WOWE.com. There's my plug. Help us get these likes up on Facebook. Keep me having jobs so I can sit here and watch 30 of the most beautiful women in the world train every day from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Oh, he's on the Jonathan Williams plan where you just sit around and watch pretty women and talk about wrestling.
I mean, you can't beat it. I'm watching two rings right now, both of them full of women, and they just want to make it. They want to become the next WOW superhero, so we'll see if any of them have what it takes.
Is there an application I can put in somewhere?
WOWE.com. We're always casting, man. We had two supermodel twins that were just in here, identical, to take a look. They didn't take any bumps, but they were looking, and they said they're meet us in Vegas on January 19th.
Hey, I just liked it on Facebook. I had not heard of this. Is there anyone from Georgia involved?
Anyone from Georgia? Absolutely. I am here. I've moved here 3 weeks ago. And I'm living downtown in a 5-star hotel with another friend from Georgia, Lena Majors, also known as Bambi. She is the head trainer of the group, and she was 12 years ago the head trainer who trained the original cast. She's in ring one now, in ring two, doing some training as Lalani Kai and Steve Stasiak, who was popular there on the scene in the Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, Alabama region. So our crew drove out here 3 weeks ago, 36 hours from Savannah to here. And now we're home.
I see. Is that Gorgeous George? Is she part of that, or is that somebody else?
Gorgeous George? I don't know. Maybe.
The one that,
maybe she's under the ring. Maybe she's got a mask.
Well, I'm looking at a picture. It looks like her, but it could be anybody. It's pretty blonde with lots of pink on. So.
Possibly from the original. So we're posting some pictures from the original cast. That was 12 years ago. So people changed over time. At least in the ring right now looking as good.
I believe we are losing Dan Masters.
If you wouldn't complain about that dungeon.
Yeah. And I think we had Larry Goodman too. But anyway, I think our... I think Brian Alexander is on the line now. Let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Brian?
Yes, it is. How are y'all?
Doing all right. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing real nice. Sitting out by a nice fire out in the yards. Taking it easy.
All right. Do you still go by Brian Alexander the Great?
You can call me Brian, but yeah, Brian Alexander the Great.
Well, I haven't seen your name out in quite a while. I know you were... tag team champion with Terry Lawler back a couple years ago at Perks Championship Wrestling in Cedartown. So what have you been up to since then?
I've just been living the life, taking it easy for the most part. You know, I took a little time off to spend some time with my daughter, you know. I raise a 10-year-old daughter when I'm not bouncing around the ring.
All right. Well, this match on Thanksgiving night against Murder One, is that going to be your first match back?
No, I've actually stayed quite busy. I was doing a show over in Alabama and done some things here and there, just making rounds, seeing some old folks I hadn't visited with in a while. So no, it ain't actually my first one back. It's my first time back in Rome in 4 or 5 years, probably. I was up there a few nights ago checking out my buddy Terry Lawler, seeing how he was, and daggum it, somebody didn't jump in. That caused me to come up there and show my tail a little bit. Now the dog stole my seat.
At this point, everybody's got history with Murder One. Do you have history with him as well?
Do I have history with Murder One? I would have to say yeah. I would definitely have to say yeah. There was a time where, about 10, 12 years ago, we were actually tag partners for a while, believe it or not. But that was a different time. Different time. I was probably a little wilder and crazier back then. I've leveled out quite a lot since then. But yeah, me and Murder One definitely got history. Reservoir Dog days. Do y'all remember when he was the Reservoir Dog with Rain Man, Corey Taylor?
I did not know them by that name, but I knew they used to tag together.
Yeah, they were the Reservoir Dogs at Two Extreme Wrestling back in U.S. Play back in like 2000. I'll tell you how long ago that's been. Lee Thomas, Rob Adonis. Get on my damn seat, dog.
We saw them both just Sunday. They seem to be kind of, the friendship never waned, apparently, because they seem to be both in the blacklist now. So some things don't change too much.
I ain't seen Corey Chavis in probably 10 years or better. I always liked him. He's a hard nut to crack, but I always liked him.
Well, what do you anticipate for this show in Rome on Thanksgiving night? I know wrestling on Thanksgiving once was a big tradition in Georgia, but it seems like it could be hit or miss these days.
From what I saw the other night, they had a very nice turnout up there at the inside Rome, and they got some damn good names on this card. Matter of fact, I believe Kyle Matthews is making his return up there. Got Terry Lawler on the show, gonna be in the ring with the Working Man, Lamar. Myself with Homicide with Murder One. It definitely ought to be an interesting night. It ought to be an interesting night. I look for a lot of chaos, commotion, and a lot of Thanksgiving rejoicing.
Yeah, the card is not short on talent, that's for sure. Simon Sermon and Rick Michaels are going to be there.
Simon Sermon, that's a story all in general. me and Simon hit the roads several years ago. Matter of fact, we had some of our best matches down in a place called Dublin, Georgia, I believe it was. Stylesboro, Dublin, Georgia.
Oh, I know Dublin. I got a ticket there once coming back from Savannah that cost me $400.
Oh, God, man, they must really like y'all.
Yeah. I think they saw my DeKalb County tag and singled me out.
Yeah. Do y'all remember the announcer, Didi Busey? Y'all remember him?
I don't know the name.
He was a good announcer back several years ago. We went down to Dublin. It was me, Didi, Matt T.A. Wright, the referee, and we went down there, three of us. On the way down there, I had a run in with this guy named Nemesis. Remember him? Little short black guy. I can't think of what he calls himself now.
He's still Nemesis.
There is still a Nemesis, and I don't know if there's been more than one.
Yeah, there's a wicked Nemesis. He's a manager over in Alabama.
Yeah, yeah.
Now that's a friend of mine also. Okay. Well, this is a black guy, Nemesis. I can't think, right off the top of my head, I can't call his name, but... we had a run in a time or two at U.S. Play, and this particular night we're headed down to Dublin, and he calls one of them up. He says, "You mind if we have a rider on the way back?" And I said, "Who is it?" He said, "Nemesis." I said, "I don't care if he rides back with us." So Nemesis is riding home with us from Dublin, which is like forever South Georgia, and as we're coming home, that son of a gun falls asleep. He's in the back, and he's just snoring his ass off. And it's about 2 o'clock in the morning. We're coming through Macon, Georgia, and there's like 8 lanes of traffic, and there's nobody on the road, just us. And we're driving along. Him was sleeping, and I told old Dee Dee, he was driving, and Matt was sitting in the back. I said, Dee Dee, I said, when I tell you to, I said, I want you to cross all 8 lanes of traffic several times. I got positioned in the back seat, damn near straddled on Nemesis. Matt standing up in his ear, and I tapped old Dee Dee on the shoulder, and he starts swerving 8 lanes of traffic, left, right, left, right. We start screaming, falling on Nemesis, just tricking, hollering. When we stopped, we got to laughing. Nemesis was white as a ghost, sitting in the back, his eyes bugged out of his head, going, what the hell, what the hell, what the hell? And we're all laughing, and we calmed down after a few minutes, and he says, fellas, I need to stop and get something to eat and clean my drawers out. I don't know, man. That boy was scared shitless, man. It was funny as hell. Oh, my God. I miss that guy.
I'm going to make sure to ask him about that when I see him.
You ask him about it. It was about Macon, Georgia, coming home from Dublin. I'm sure he won't forget it. That was the best part. I don't remember nothing about the show other than I worked Simon Sermon that night and had a blowout crowd, done an awesome match. But the ride home by far was greater because he didn't sleep none the rest of the way home. That boy was wide awake. He said, I ain't sleeping again, fellas. Don't get that. I scared that boy. I thought he was going to have a heart attack when we damn got done. Oh, my God. Yeah, I had a run-in with him at U.S. Play, but it was over a different issue. It was in the locker room. Matter of fact, Murder One was in on that one.
You don't say.
No, I don't say a bit. You can't imagine that, can you? Y'all may not believe this. Y'all may not believe this, but at one point, I used to be an asshole.
Oh, are you? I thought you were blaming them, and that was the part that wasn't a surprise, but...
No, actually, Murder One was, he was in there, let's see, Nemesis was young in his career, and they were booking a show. Lee Thomas and Rob Adonis were booking a show, and for some reason or other, he wanted to say that the only reason he wasn't getting a push was because he was black. So he stand up talking about being black and nobody wanting to book him because he's black, wouldn't give him a push because he was black and all that. And except he was using, he was using the other word. He was using the N word a little bit, and I figured I wouldn't say that, but he was using the N word quite profusely. And he turned around, he looked at Murder One and Rain Man sitting there, and he goes, "You book him?" And both of them are, and Murder One looks up at him, he says, "Nah, man, right now you're the only one of them standing here. We just black." The run-in I had with him was I got tired of listening to him. He was standing up. He wasn't talking to me. He was talking to the bookers, and he was just running his mouth about being racist and all that. And finally, I got a bite full of it, stood up in the middle of the damn locker room. I told him, listen, if you don't shut the hell up, I said, I'll pick your ass up, throw you through that plate glass window, finish getting dressed, and carry on to my night. I don't know what the hell you're going to do. And he looked at the old homicide or looked at Murder One. He said, "You think he'll do that?" Murder One goes, "Damn right he'll do it." Like I said, at one time I used to be a little bit of an asshole.
I think you kind of have to be when you're in those kind of situations.
Yeah. Yeah. Every now and then. Can't always be a nice guy.
It sounds like you've seen most of it and then at least heard about the rest of it, hadn't you?
A good portion of it. There was this guy. Let me think what his name was. Jerry Lee Lewis Jr.
Yes. Tell whatever this story is, tell it.
Don't remember him. Does he still wrestle?
I saw him one time, and that was one time too many.
Okay, I don't know if he still wrestles or not. But
he wore pink pants and kept a big sock in the front
of
him. Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
And done,
same guy.
Done the Jerry's Kids and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, he was doing a show, or he was doing a lot of shows, and he come in at U.S. Play one week and opened his bag up, and his bag smelt to high hell. And, you know, the first night this happened, I was like, you know, maybe, you know, hell, I've been on the road a few nights and, you know, had a hard time finding the laundromat, and, you know, might have had a little bit of reeking stuff. So I let it go. Following week, Joe comes back, he opened the bag up, and it had the same pungent smell coming out of it. And I was like, what the hell, this boy not wash his shit? So I kind of let it go and just kind of made some obscene comments about, you know, people need to wash their gear every time, you know, just throwing them out there in the air. The next week, the following week, he comes in and unzips that bag, and it stunk to high hell again. So I told him, I said, if you come in here one more time with that bag smelling like this, grab your bag, walk over and kick the back door open. And it was pouring down rain. I'm talking about flooding the damn parking lot. I kicked the back door open and hummed his shit out in the parking lot. Just throw it out in the parking lot. You come in here and that shit stinks again. I said, I will open your bag and personally take a big old hairy dump right in it, zip it back up and push it outside again. So the next week, when he come in that building, he unzipped his stuff. I guarantee you there was 12 dryer sheets fell out on the floor. I'm talking about linen fresh, buddy. There wasn't a damn thing in that stuff. We used to have some good old times. Like I said, I at one point been called an asshole. You might not believe that, but, you know, I've had my better days.
Do you have any other matches coming up after Thanksgiving? I'm sure you'll have some more stories to tell us after a few more events.
Well, let's see. Every year, for the last, I don't know, damn near 15 years, at Henderson's Arena in Forest Park, I guess is what area it's in, it's down off Washington Road, I do a Toys for Tots benefit, and there's like 10,000 people at it. It's always a packed out house. Matter of fact, they used to do weekly shows there with Mr. Lacey and Henderson's Arena, had the Harley Davidson crew, Greg Brown.
In College Park.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, College Park. I said Forest Park. That tells you what kind of head start I've had. But we do a show on December the 15th every year down there for, you know, for the poor and unprivileged and all that. And that's my next show that I'm aware of. That's the next one I'm on after this one. You know, being high, it's the holidays and times are tough, whatever were. Don't seem like they call as much.
Which promotion is that?
Oh, God, you had to ask me a hard question, didn't you? You know, to be honest with you, I've been down there for so many years, and I don't remember y'all remember Mr. Donnie? Used to run around with Harley Davidson crew.
I've heard the name.
Well, he'd probably know better than I do, because I just go down there and collect the check and leave. I guess, you know, if you get down to it, that's kind of rude, ain't it? But no, it's one of the largest Toys for Tots shows in the state of Georgia. It's always the week before Thanksgiving, and they have thousands and thousands of folks. And I try to get as many workers on it as possible, try to get as many of the guys to come down, give a little bit of time. Some guys I've met over the years, I've never got a chance to work. One of them's called Death Row. I think he's from Florida. He comes up quite often. I've never had the opportunity to work him, but I think this year, being how I'm running the card, I'm thinking about making that happen.
All right. Well, it sounds like you stay busy during the holidays, but...
I try to. Got to stay busy doing something. Can't live a boring life all your life. You get old, you got to have something to talk about.
Have you got plenty. Yeah, it doesn't sound like you've had much boring part.
There's been times that I'd like to have forgotten, and maybe some of them that I won't ever forget. We've done some ignorant stuff. Y'all don't remember the late Ken Timms, do you?
The who?
Late Ken Timms, the Hollywood blonde, Ken Timms.
Oh, yeah, I know the name.
All right, well, that was who trained me many years ago. And every time we ever went anywhere, I always come home with my side hurting, not from a match or not from any kind of ignorant stuff. Come home from laughing my ass off. He made the business so much fun, and we had so many good times running the roads up and down. And you know, hell, he was amazing in the ring, could do anything in the world with the show. I mean, tell a story without even sweating nearly. God, we used to have lots of fun with Ken. One of them was, we go down to this show, let's see, I don't remember when it was. We was down in Mobile, Alabama, and it was about the time that Gary Busey had the E! True Hollywood Story. Y'all remember when that come on?
Yes.
That was like, I mean, that was, I'm telling my age here, I know I am, but that was like forever. I don't know, matter of fact, I might have been back in the 90s. But the E! True Hollywood Story come on of was coming on in the next couple of weeks with Gary Busey, but the commercials had on it, you know, Gary Busey dies on the table. Well, we're driving down to Mobile, Alabama, and got two of his boys in the back, because one of them was going to be a referee and the other one was going to run the gimmick table. Me and Ken sitting up in front of my little Honda Civic at the time. I had a little two-door Honda Civic. And we're driving down, and just out of the blue, I said, you know that E! True Hollywood Story about Gary Busey, you know, did he die or something? Because I heard him say he died. And with the straightest face, he looks over and says, no, he'll be here tonight. He'll be on the show tonight. And I looked over at him. I says, bullshit, you're lying. Well, the next 50 or 60 miles is me just sitting there going, Ken, don't lie to me. I've heard all kind of bullshit stories. You know, I said, I don't want to hear no shit about Gary Busey being on this damn show. I said, I'm sick of it. And he's sitting there just the whole time, yeah, Gary will be here. He's always, you know, he always does these shows and stuff like that. And I'm just sitting there going, you know, I've been fed bullshit before. And I said, this is exactly what it tastes like. Well, we get down to the show, and God, it was a huge show. I forget who it was for, what promotion it was for, because, you know, I never even kept up there anyway.
Yeah,
but,
anyway.
I remember Stevie Richards was on it. Bullet was on it. I'm trying to think who else, who all the big names was on it. But I'm sitting in the ring, you know, we're having a little, you know, getting in the ring for the show, playing around, learning new things, just warming up. I'm sitting in the corner, and Joe's oldest son, I mean, Ken's oldest son, Joe, walks over to me, and he says, Gary Busey just walked in. I looked at him square in the face. I said, all right, Dad pulled this shit all the way down here. I said, I'm sick of hearing it. He said, no, seriously, look. So I turn around and look over at the bay door walking in the building. I said, holy shit, Gary Busey's on the show. And by God, he worked. He worked a damn good match. He worked, I believe he worked Bob Armstrong that night. Had a awesome match with him, you know. And I was sitting there going, you know, that's some shit. You know, Ken said, no, he'll be here tonight. I said, damn, if he wasn't there.
I never in my life knew anything. I never had a clue.
You never knew Gary Busey was a huge wrestling fan? He was always a huge wrestling fan. And even, matter of fact, it seemed like in that Hollywood story or one of the biography things of Gary Busey, it talks about him being a wrestling fan, going to see Hulk Hogan and, you know, going to these different shows. But at the time, I didn't know that. Hell, he's on the drag and a bag in, you know. And this is actually before it was okay to mark out for stars, okay? I mean, this was back, you know, we were still an old locker room. You didn't go around asking for the old, you know, you didn't ask people their autograph. I'm sitting in the dressing room, just sitting there going, holy shit, I'm in the dressing room with Gary Busey. The movie Under Siege was one of my all-time greatest movies, and Die Hard, where he, you know, where he's sitting there burning a cigarette on his arm. I mean, that was always one of the coolest set of movies. And so I'm sitting in there, and all of a sudden, there's nobody in the dressing room. Not a soul. And I look around, I'm like, holy shit. So I grab one of the posters off the wall, snatch it off the wall, run over there, and I said, Gary, I said, you mind signing this for me? You know, because ain't nobody going to believe this. He said, oh, sure. He signs the thing. Immediately, I jump up, run it out in my car, lift up the carpet where the spare tire is at. That way nobody could see it. Okay, put the shoe in. Yeah, nobody can see it. You know, put it in there. I wasn't getting called Mark. You ain't marking out. You know, I put it underneath the carpet. Clothing, you know, and all that. They wasn't going back in there. And hell, I sit there and talk to Gary for the better part of an hour just BSing with him, and he was one of the coolest, you know, just normal, cool guys ever. But the other part of that story that was just an absolute amazing ride, do y'all remember Sister Sherry?
Yes, yes.
Of course.
Sherry Martel?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
All right. Ken was large. He wasn't fat. He was just a big mountain of a man. I mean, he was, you know, huge. And we're in a two-door Honda Civic. And Sherry needs a ride back to the hotel. And so Ken volunteered, you know, yeah, you can ride with us. So I've got Sherry Martel sitting in the front seat. Now, Sherry Martel wasn't a petite woman. She was a rather large woman. She wasn't, like I said, she wasn't fat. She was just, you know, a bigger woman. Well, she had run around chasing Joe with a rubber glove talking about she's going to give him an inspection all night long. And Joe running away from us, he didn't want her finger up his ass. So we're driving down Interstate 10, going into Mobile, into the city of Mobile. She's sitting in the front seat. Ken Timms, who's sitting in the back seat, Joe and his son, I believe it was Nikolai that was with us that night, they're sitting in the back seat. Now, in the Honda Civic, it was a tight package for kids, pretty much. But you got a grown adult and two larger children in the back. Sherry Martel sitting in the front seat, and I'm driving. It's a 5-speed. Sherry Martel reaches in, pulls out this rubber glove she'd been chasing him with all night, slaps it on her fingers, and commits to chasing him around my car. She jumps in the back seat. There's a commotion. We change 3 lanes of traffic while this is going on. Joe jumps around my left arm, past the steering wheel, in the passenger seat. Son of a bitch, here comes Sherry. She comes around my left arm in front of the steering wheel. I can't see. I'm swerving, nearly hitting the bridge. All of a sudden, Joe jumps in the back. Sherry winds up back in her seat, and we're all laughing hysterically. And I'm down there killing it. Nearly hit a cop on the side of the road, dude. I don't know if he was running radar or if he was just sitting there, but he didn't pull out because apparently it was a close enough call. He didn't want to screw with us either. She chased him around my car, and I'm sitting there going, my God, I didn't know you could run a circle in a Honda Civic going 70 down the Interstate 10. So we've had some good times. We've had some really cool times. I miss that big son of a bitch.
Wow.
Well, Brian, I hate to leave you. I mean, that's, if you have to leave on any note, I would say that's not a bad one. But we do have another guest calling in, and we have to go to commercial. So I want to thank you for calling. And,
absolutely.
Wish you luck against Murder One on Thursday. And
night, Thanksgiving night. Everybody needs to show up for it.
And if it means anything to you, I hope you whoop the hell out of it.
I have full intentions of it. I got hit in the mouth of him several years ago, and he said it was one of them. I slipped. I don't think it was a slip. I think it was intentional. So I plan on receiving him several times, and I plan on taking it all the way to him. And I thank y'all fellas.
All right.
Thank
you. Thanks again, and have a great Thanksgiving.
Y'all too, man. See y'all Thursday night.
All right. We got to take a commercial break, and we got Jeter on hold. So when we come back, we will talk to Jeter.
Wrestling fans, Anarchy Wrestling television tapings are the second and fourth Saturdays of every month at 4236 Level Grove Road in Cornelia, Georgia. For more information on Anarchy Wrestling and on the shows, to watch the television product and a whole lot more, go to anarchy-wrestling.net. That's Anarchy Wrestling, the second and fourth Saturdays of every month in Cornelia, Georgia.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
Whether you're having an autograph session, personal appearance, or live event, we got just the person you need to contact for all of those needs. SBI Bookings is home of some of the best stars in the wrestling industry today. They provide you with the best talent this business has to offer, from Kevin Nash, Larry Zbysko, Scott Steiner, and many, many more. So who will you contact next time you're planning an event? The men of SBI Bookings. Check them out at sbibookings.com.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Ray Gunkel or Gordon Solie? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? What happened in Columbus on my birthday? find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
Welcome back to Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams of WrestlingWithPopCulture.com with Team All You Can Eat's Matt Hankins. And Matt, I think the tape player is about to eat that tape that those ads are on.
I think we're about done with that one. We're dragging a little bit.
Well, moving on, we've got one half of the Platinum Championship Wrestling Tag Team Season Champions and one of the newest members of the Anarchy Wrestling roster. His name is Jeter, and he is now joining us. How are you doing tonight, Jeter?
I'm all right. How about yourself?
Doing okay. Jeter,
right.
I got to ask you, on Saturday in Porterdale, that poor old woman, it was her birthday. She had her John Cena shirt on, and you tried to ruin her night. I think she actually enjoyed it on some weird level. But why did you get in that old lady's face like that?
Simply put, you step in my way, man, woman, child, you will be hurt, whether it's in the ring or out the ring. I don't care about her birthday, her grandson, or the brother next to her. Step in my way, you will be hurt. I promise destruction anytime I step through those curtains, and that's why I'm there to deliver.
All right. Well, Matt and I have seen plenty of destruction from you over the past couple of years in PCW. But you brought some destruction with you again a couple weeks ago, from what I hear, up at Anarchy. So what was that about? How did you end up joining the Elite and, you know, taking out Michael Judas?
Well, long story short, I was brought in just to with a special assignment. Anybody who's ever seen me wrestle know I have a taste for blood. I don't mind hurting people. I don't mind breaking necks. I don't mind putting people out. And on this road of destruction tour, I like to call it, the Juice was just the next victim.
I hear tell it was just pandemonium in there when you came out and started laying the boots to him. Did you even notice how crazy it was getting, or were you just kind of in the zone doing what you do?
It was a 50-50 split. I noticed everything that's going on around me because I am a very aware person, but I was also in the moment. I had a job to do. I had to complete my job, and I did.
Well, Jeter, Anarchy is this Saturday. I don't see your name or face on the poster, but I'm sure you're going to be there. Do you have any particular plans, or do you know if you're scheduled for a match or anything?
I will definitely be there in the building. What is in store for me this Saturday, and like I have no idea. I'll find out once I'm in the building and see what's going on.
All right. Well, you have you faced a lot of people in PCW, but I'm sure there's a whole new roster of people that you have not yet been in the ring with up in Anarchy. So is there anybody in particular that you would like to see in the ring?
Anybody in particular. To be honest with you, I wouldn't mind getting in with Strychnine.
Shit.
What do you have against Strychnine?
I'm nothing against Strychnine. In all honesty, as a man, I respect Strychnine. In the ring, I've seen what Strychnine can do. But the question is, what can he do against a monster like myself?
Have you never had a match with Strychnine at PCW? I know he was there a little bit with the Hate Junkies and sometimes by himself.
I've never had a one-on-one match with Strychnine.
Okay.
I think y'all were in there with the Junkies, but it was one of those things that things kind of broke down and it didn't stay a match very long, as was often the case when the Gorillas and the Junkies got together.
Pretty much so. It's exactly what people paid for. It became a fight. Balls to the wall. We're going to stand in the middle of the ring, slug, and see who falls down first.
Now, you're a dude who people, obviously they know who you are because if you see you once, you don't forget seeing Jeter. But outside of that, you know, you just kind of stay to yourself. Is that by design or is that just kind of how things have worked out? Do you not want people to know a whole lot about you other than when you got in and were doing your thing?
In all honesty, I am pretty much to myself. But it's also by design because people buy into a mystery a lot more than the answer they can receive. If you have a chance to, let's put it this way, everyone looks at the stars. What's beyond the stars? What's in outer space? If it wasn't for the mystery, no one would even explore or even have a question about outer space. So why would I give everybody answers? I make people come seek me out.
Fair enough. Now, style-wise, you are far from the average big lumbering dude. I assume you grew up as a wrestling fan. Did you like smaller guys, or was that just you were that athletic and so you could do it, so you did it?
I've always liked the smaller competitor, in all honesty. The first big guy, if you will, that really caught my eye was The Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
Because one, how many cats have you ever seen close to 7 feet tall fly off the top rope as if they're 155 pounds?
None.
So, as far as, again, just to re-answer your question, I've always liked the smaller guys. I've always been a fan of the more technical guys, such as Kurt Angle, Bret Hart, Chris Benoit, who's one of my favorites.
Jesus Christ, that's a dangerous combination. Because you could be that big and pattern yourself out to them, that's a problem. Now, I dealt with you from the front row of Academy Theater most of the times that I've seen you. In that confined space, did you have to tone it down, or did you care?
And all, it was toned down for the space confinement, but the question of if I cared, no.
I didn't think you did. I never got the impression once that you cared if you had fallen on us and killed us.
I remember some close calls up there. Those were times when I was glad I didn't sit in the front row a whole lot.
You and me, oh, God. I was actually talking about one just the other night where I thought it was over. I said, well, this is where it ends. I'm about to get kicked in the head or just it's over. I'm going to get my neck broken. Shit, we'll get fucked up somehow because there's no way we get out of this one alive. We skated by that night.
Yeah.
How about, are you still focused tag team wise with Brian and Porterdale? Or are you kind of moving to do your own thing? What's going on with that?
As far as Brian, or as we like to be called, a big fucking deal.
We are very
focused tag team wise, but I also like to stretch my limbs and try my hand at singles competition.
And you two went through as many changes as anybody did probably in that whole, you know, couple-year run where PCW was in Avondale and then later on in Porterdale. You know, you were here, you were there, you were this person, that person. What happened this last year to where you and Brian just cemented as a unit and got over that hurdle that was the Washington Bullets?
The thing that changed was myself and Brian, we were able to lay down the map of what we wanted to do and how we wanted to do it. You know, as far as part of the Country Gorillas, that was fun. That was cool. Much respect to Nemesis for believing in me to even bring me into the fold of the Concrete Gorillas. I will always have respect for that man for that. And then once the ousting of Nemesis from PCW, we were stuck with Aisha Sunshine. Have nothing against her. Great competitor. But for what we wanted to do and the goals that we wanted to accomplish, she had to be put out of the situation. And once it became myself and Brian, we were able to get our goals in focus and really go after what we wanted. You understand something? Myself and Brian, we've been friends since high school. This is something we've looked forward to since high school. Many times we've talked about how we wanted to make it in pro wrestling, how we were going to succeed in pro wrestling, and to have just a small taste of that at Sixth Ground in the tag team season and as a 2012 tag team champions. That just lets us know exactly what we have to do in order to accomplish our goals.
Yeah, Matt, I don't think you were at Universal and Independent Wrestling on Saturday, but I was at Porterdale, and that was there was a rematch between the tag team of Big F and Deal and the Washington Bullets, and Jeter got the win on that in a big way. Terrorized the poor little referee, then terrorized the little old lady in the front row, then terrorized the bigger guy in the back row. So I think they've kind of established their dominance over the Bullets, at least for the time being. But I remember I was there, you know, from the very first Academy Theater show, Jeter, and I remember you coming out. You were very quiet for the first several weeks, and you just came out, and your matches never lasted more than a couple minutes, if that. And you clearly had a dominant streak throughout your career in PCW. So how would you say that what you learned there, because you were way bigger than most of those guys, and that I don't think you ever faced anybody near your size while you were there, but Anarchy has some bigger guys. How would you say your time with PCW prepared you for places like Anarchy?
My time in PCW, the best way for me to describe it, it gave me as a performer, it gave me as a wrestler, it gave me in some sense as a person the confidence to know that I know what I'm doing. Not only do I know what I'm doing, when I promise something, it will be delivered. And the people will go home satisfied with what we've done inside the square circle, whether it be taking out somebody, whether it be just putting on a 5-star match, or whether it be just goofing around. You understand what I'm saying? As long as the people are thoroughly entertained and I accomplish my goal of leaving somebody destroyed in that ring, that's all I care about. And that's what I gained from PCW, the entire experience, my entire 3 years with PCW.
You left a lot of people laying in some dramatic ways. Is there one that stands out to you where you just kind of went in the back like, yeah, that's the one?
It would have to be the night that there was a tag team match between the Concrete Gorillas, myself, and Jay Fury. That the beating that we put on Jay Fury, the beating that I put on Jay Fury, is the beating that I remember the most. For the simple fact of, I had Jay Fury eating out the palm of my hand. I had all the fans eating out of the palm of my hand. Everybody truly believed that I was so PCW to the core of me. And when I landed my big right hand to his jaw and he went flat, the look of desperation, just to watch the life be sucked out of the crowd, nothing like it.
Yeah, it was nothing like that other time when you and Brian Blaze attacked the crowd and the commentary booth. And who was it that was it Corey that got stepped on? Or?
Yeah, Corey called a fist. Hey, what can I say? It's pro wrestling. If you can't handle being a part of the show, stay your ass home.
I just stayed out of the way when all that was happening.
You whooped a cripple that night.
Again, if you don't want to be a part of the show, you don't want to be a part of the melee, if you feel like your life is in danger, stay at home. I do exactly what I promise to do every time I step through the curtain. I promise to leave somebody hurt. I promise to put on a good show, and I promise destruction. And every time I step through the curtain, into the crowd, into the ring, I accomplish all three goals.
I'll vouch for that. You're aligned now with in the Elite, you know, sort of with Jeff G. Bailey, and Jeff has got a history of just having these monsters that he somehow pulls even more just visceral evil out of. Has that started with you yet?
How the best way to answer that that would be, I listen to Jeff G. I take his knowledge and his wisdom that he's had and earned in this business, and I apply it to my trade inside of the ring. So I guess the answer would be yes. But I also pose another question. How can you pull evil out of you?
That's what I'm worried about.
I think if anybody knows, it's Jeff G.
It's Jeff G. That, you know, guys that were bad. Ice Train comes to mind, you know, with he was bad before, but with Jeff, I mean, they were diabolical. And that's the first thing I thought when I heard, you know, Jeter's in Anarchy and he's with the Elite. I was like, oh, my God, that's, I don't know what they can do. Because, and that's the other thing with Anarchy right now, you know, the bigger guys are on your side. So I'd hate to know who is going to try to oppose this force, because, you know, with Jagged Edge got hurt and all they did was roll out another monster. It's like they got a factory up there.
Yeah.
And Jagged Edge will be back soon enough, so.
Jesus Christ. I'm glad I'm a fit front row at those shows.
Jeter, I'm curious, like a lot of other PCW people, after Sacred Ground and after the Academy Theater shows ended the night before that, you know, we see these PCW people everywhere. So you just started with Anarchy, but are you planning on, you know, going out anywhere else? There are plenty of other places that I'm sure would have you.
Yeah. It's wherever the destruction tour takes me, whoever wants me. I'm here to apply my trade in all areas of the wrestling business. You need somebody taken out? Call me. You need somebody destroyed? Call me. You just need somebody stretchered out of your building? Call me. I am the new mercenary for hire in pro wrestling. I was tagged a couple months ago by Stephen Platinum as wrestling's most dangerous weapon. I'm looking to live up and exceed that tag. As far as places that I could possibly be working, right now it's Anarchy and PCW. I would like to go to Alabama and work in Pro South. I would like to work in UIW. Just got to make the right connections.
All right, well, I think
the past we got to stop having giant black men on this phone, man. I get scared. From AJ Steele to Jeter this week, it gets scary out here. It's dark outside. Oh, I'm scared.
Well, at least we have the safety of the phone line between us for now. But anytime you're near either one of them, as we saw down at Rampage yesterday, it is definitely scary. And several people can attest to that from Porterdale on Saturday. And I'm sure several people will attest to that this Saturday at Anarchy. So, I don't know. On that note, I guess thank you for calling, Jeter. And I don't know if I can say I look forward to seeing the destruction that you create, but I'm definitely intrigued, and I'll definitely be watching.
Thank you, gentlemen. You gentlemen have a good evening.
All right,
and
you
man,
too.
For what it means, I'm glad to see you out there, man, because y'all, you know, all the kids inside, y'all worked your asses off to get where you were, and nobody gave you anything. So you took it, which I don't know how they could stop you from taking it, but I'm glad to see you out there making some moves, man.
Thank you, sir.
All right, you have a good night, Jeter.
Same to you.
Thanks. We got a few minutes left, Matt Hankins. You will not be joining us next week. I believe you're going to be on a boat, right?
I'm getting out of this damn country. I told you I was shook. I'm running scared.
Well, our only guest will be the second installment of a very special Georgia Wrestling Now with Rick Michaels. And I believe Chuck Porterfield is going to fill in as co-host for Matt Hankins.
Oh, you got an apt fill-in then. I will gladly give up my seat for Chuck and hope like hell I still have a seat when I come back. Because if anybody could take my job, Porterfield can sure pull it off.
And if he is unavailable, then I think the referee that we saw on Friday night at Monstrosity.
The hipster? We're going to talk about bands that nobody knows?
I might know some of
your bikes. Talk about restaurants nobody wants to eat at.
he works at one of those, and people like to eat there late at night when they're drunk.
See?
It's one of the few places that's open.
Oh, and how could I have gone this long without mentioning that there is a new UIW world champion?
Yes, I heard.
After a year plus reign of Bull Buchanan, an able champion, a worthy champion, through much chicanery and horsing around, the revelation Shane Marks has added another belt to his collection. Yeah, exactly. You could imagine my shock and surprise. Now, it took every ounce of treachery to pull it off. Jay Fury had to be involved. Their manager had to be involved. And, of course, in true drive-by fashion, the Jagged Edge had to be involved. But at the end of the night, they're really good at what they do. And Shane Marks left as the UIW champion. And I'm telling you right now, nobody in the building liked it.
Well, I believe we have someone that was also there. We've got a few minutes left. I'm going to bring this guy on. It's someone we haven't heard from in a couple of weeks, but here he is, the Jagged Edge.
Man, Angus, I know it took every ounce of your soul to announce that Shane Marks, the revelation Shane Marks, is taking over UIW. Now, by your own admission, you weren't there. So how can you say what took place? Shane beat Bull Buchanan in the middle of the ring. 1, 2, 3, Jay Fury and myself was just there to come out and shake his hand. But now, the point of the matter is simply this. We told those people out in Buck Cannon, Georgia, that the Empire was here to stay, that we were going to bring hard times to Buck Cannon, Georgia. It's just started. This is only the beginning. So anybody they want to line up, the Empire would knock them down. So Matt Hankins, next time you think you're brave enough, you gather up enough friends, you make a trip down to Buchanan, Georgia, Buck Cannon, Georgia, and we'll do you just like we did old Bull Buchanan. Leave you laying in the middle of the ring, laying in the middle of the alley, laying in the middle of the street with folk trying to help you out, help you up, and push you on where you need to go. We'll lay you out the pastor because that's where you belong. An old friend of mine, Double D, say she been rode hard and put away wet. And if that's the way we got to do you, Matt Hankins, we'll do it. Because it should never be an hour-long show without the revelation Shane Marks being mentioned before the last 2 minutes of this program. Never again. He is the UIW heavyweight champion.
And to his credit, he is also still the PCW and Empire champion out in Porterdale. I do not take any pleasure in saying that, but there it is what it is. On that note,
to go to UIW, so maybe I'll make a call.
I could see Jeter joining that group, and wouldn't be. It would be much like his alliances up at with the elite and Anarchy.
Let us hope not.
Well, let's see. We didn't talk about Survivor Series, but that happened yesterday.
It did happen.
We did talk a little about Monstrosity, PCW, UIW, Rampage. I think that's everything that the two of us combined saw. So, what's this weekend? There is the show on Thanksgiving that Brian Alexander is going to be part of. There's Anarchy on Saturday. Is there a UIW again? Or
UIW is not this week. That's all I know of right now. People may be laying low because of the holidays.
Yeah, there probably is the case. I'm just looking. Oh, Peach State? Peach State.
Peach State, maybe this may be their last show for a little while, too. So, because I know they're going, I know they're taking some time off for the holiday.
Yeah, well, Saturday, 2 days after Thanksgiving, same day as Anarchy, is Peach State. Those are always good events. So, still, even though there's a holiday, there's plenty to choose from. So, if you're in Georgia and you're a wrestling fan, there shouldn't be too many miles between you and a good wrestling show. So get out there and see them. And we'll be back next week, like I said, with Rick Michaels and either Chuck Porterfield or Wes Knife Evans.
Hold down the fort, boys. Keep the home fire burning.
We will do what we can, Matt, and you enjoy your cruise. Have a happy Thanksgiving. And good night.
For listening to the Tribecast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.